Well, let's take our Bibles today, if you would. We'll turn to the Gospel of Luke this morning. The Gospel according to Luke, and I'd like for us to turn to chapter number 24 today. Luke chapter 24. We're talking about the importance today of Jesus' blessings. The importance of His blessings. We've, in the last couple of weeks, we've looked at the birth of the Lord, the importance of His birth, the importance of His behavior, and then today I want us to look at the importance of His blessings. As we pick up today in Luke chapter 24, thinking about the blessings of God, isn't it wonderful today to be a child of God? As we think about the Christmas season, Christ coming into this world to make Himself known, to glorify His Father, and we see the life that He lived. It's kind of interesting how that Dr. Luke, he was a physician, wrote this particular gospel, this book of Luke. And, of course, he wrote the book of Acts as well. And he began with Jesus' birth. And today we see the blessings of the Lord. And, of course, Luke was recorded how the Lord ascended into heaven as He went back to the right hand of God the Father. But in this particular setting today, we'll pick up in verse number 33. Luke is recording how that Jesus has, of course, made Himself known after the resurrection, and what He says to those that were gathered at this time. And of course, His word is for you and me today as we look into this. So let's pick up in verse number 33. It says, And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way. Now these are the ones that were had met the Lord there on the road to Emmaus. They've come back and joined in now. So we hear about others, especially Simon, and how that he was known to them in the breaking of the bread, these two on the road to Emmaus. And as they thus spoke, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see if a spirit hath flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, He said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And He took it and did eat before them. Then He said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then He opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And He said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And He led them out as far as Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried into heaven. And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. We thank the Lord for recording this word that you and I have today. God has made himself known through his word. We've seen this as we've talked about the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God being made flesh and dwelling among men. The word, of course, the logos. Again, that word meaning the action of God, who God is. Christ took upon himself the form of a man, and he revealed God to mankind. And then we talked about, and that's at the birth, and through his birth. He is eternal, always has been, always will be, but he stepped into time, and he showed, if you would, even these that we mentioned this morning, the beauty and the glory of God. Then in his behavior, he redeemed man by his willingness to take upon himself our sin. And of course, he died on the cross. So we might say in Luke's gospel, we begin with the birth of Christ. Then we see the behavior of the Lord in his years of ministry here on this earth. And then he records for us the last of the Lord as he is ascended. Now, again, he wrote in the book of Acts. Luke wrote the book of Acts. And he kind of, if you saw and heard here, he kind of put those two together. The Lord ascending and blessing his people. And this is what he did. So when we think about the blessings of God, Christ blessed those that were there. There were other times in his life, in his ministry, where he had blessed. He blessed the bread. He broke the bread. Remember these two on the road to Emmaus? They conversed with him along the way, but they really didn't know who he was. They hadn't seen his hands and his feet that he revealed to them now back in Jerusalem. And they had walked that evening on the way back to Emmaus. That would have been the first day of the week, which would have been a Sunday afternoon. And they're getting home, I can only imagine, pretty good journey. I think it's around 7.5 to 8 miles, somewhere in that neighborhood. And of course, Christ joined them in the way. And he spoke with them. And you remember they said to the Lord, maybe he questioned them like, where have you been? What have you been doing? And they said, haven't you heard? And of course, they were looking for the Lord. And it's the third day. And here we are. We're going home brokenhearted. This man, Jesus, he's been crucified. We thought he would be the Messiah, the one to redeem us. And now here we are the third day. And then we find that Jesus commune with them, by the way. I don't know if he said, well, y'all have a good evening or what. And they said, well, why don't you stop in with us? Come on and we'll have break bread together. Well, they had broken bread many times, but they'd never broken bread like they were about to break bread. Jesus went in, and it says, previous to what I'm stating here now, how that the Lord began to with the Old Testament in verse 27, and he went through the books of prophecy from Moses onward, and then he took the bread in verse 30, and he blessed it. And he broke the bread and gave to them. There's something there with the blessing and the breaking of the bread. You remember back earlier, the Lord had fed 5,000 on one occasion and had questioned the disciples about the bread. He said, we're going to feed them. And I'm paraphrasing a lot this morning, scripture for the sake of time. But he said, feed them. And it's like, well, we wouldn't have enough bread to feed them. It would take 30 days' wages, Philip said, to have enough bread to feed a crowd this size. And he said, well, what do we have here? Do you remember the lad with the fishes and the bread? And he took the fish and he took the bread and he blessed it. That word blessing in the Greek in the New Testament is eulego. The word eu, E-U, would be, we talk about the Eucharist. Many people talk about communion being the Eucharist. And the reason why is because of him giving thanks. The word giving thanks in the Greek would be eucharisto. And so he you would be to speak well of or to speak good of. Lego, of course, means to say. You being good and well. So he said well of the bread. He blessed the bread. Think with me just a moment. He blessed the bread. He thanked the Father for the bread. He blessed the bread and he distributed the bread. And then later he said how that the bread, of course, represented Christ. Christ is the bread of life. And their eyes were opened. And now we see again that he is with this group of men, the disciples that had gathered that evening. And of course, these two that had gone back from Emmaus, their hearts were on fire. They had seen the Lord, and that's what they said. Didn't our hearts burn within us when he spake along the way? Now remember, it was speaking through Moses. He began in Moses and the prophets, and I can only imagine what the Lord said, maybe how that this Messiah that they had looked for, that they had longed for, and yet their hearts were broken because they thought that he would be the Messiah. They didn't understand Jonah being 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. They didn't understand that. But Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights, that's 3 days and three nights, in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So they heard that, but they didn't get it. And today we can hear the word of God, but we don't get it until we understand who he is. And once their eyes were opened, and of course in the blessing of the bread, they saw this. Now they have gone back to tell these other disciples what the Lord's doing. It was him, and they're all excited. They said, well, Simon saw him earlier today. And again, these are not really sure about this at this time. Again, Luke is giving us from that evening with the doors closed all the way until the Lord ascends into heaven. And so they're still wondering. We say we saw him, two did. They say Simon saw him, and yet they're questioning him. And he said, well, what do we have here to eat? And they said, well, here's a piece of broiled fish. It's a spirit. No, it's not a spirit. It's the Lord. So he took the fish, he took the honeycomb, and then he showed him his hands and his feet. And of course, we find that they're believing him now. And what we find is that in being blessed, he blessed them before he ascended. And then, of course, they went back, and we find by the end of the Gospel of Luke, how that they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Now this is looking forward. This is not that night in the upper room, but this is looking forward through Luke's writings as the Lord ascended into heaven. He went up from the Mount of Olives over at Bethany, and he arose, if you would, later as Luke recorded in the book of Acts. He blessed them and they worshiped him. And I want us to think about that this morning as we think about the blessings of God. How that you and I have been blessed. And we look at this Christmas season as a time of blessing. It's a time when we can come together as family. Many of you have family already with you. Many may go and be visiting family. But it's a time of blessing. For the world without Christ, it's a time of busyness. They're going to and fro, they're buying, they're shopping, they're giving, they're doing, and they really don't have any idea what it's all about, being blessed by God. Their eyes are not opened. Again, I thought how that with the Lord, he had, after the feeding of the multitude, of course, Jesus at one point in his ministry, they had one who was sick with a palsy. You remember the story. And the word was around because of his behavior, him being God. If we could get this friend of ours to the master, if we could just get him to the master, I believe he can heal him. So they brought the four of them, did they? They took him up to the rooftop, you remember, and they let him down through the roof. And the Lord healed the man. And then the word of God goes on to say that he blessed him. He said, thy sins are forgiven. And in the blessing of God, we see the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is. They saw the Lord on the road to Emmaus, but it was until he blessed the bread. Now these men have been blessed by the Lord. It's the blessing of the Lord. It's the good saying of God, if you would, that brings men to understand who he is. That wouldn't be taken away from the Logos, the Word of God becoming flesh. It's the goodness of the Lord. The good saying of God was revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ. See, the world today, many don't understand who God is. They don't see God for His goodness. They only see this idea of a God that if everything's going well, He's good. But if it's not, it's His fault. But that's not the God of the Bible. That's not the Creator. And certainly that's not the Lord Jesus Christ. God works through circumstances to reveal Himself. They had, if you would, hearts broken, seeing this one that they thought would redeem them die on the cross. And they missed the whole purpose of what the cross was about. What was the cross purpose? What was it about? The cross was a symbol of death, of course. Anyone who hung on a cross was seen as someone who was despised, seen as someone who had broken the law, seen as someone who the death that they would die would be a harsh death. It pictured, if you would, wickedness. But here's a man on the cross who is perfect. Here's a man who has no sin. Here's a man taking a place on a cross. For what? Of course, they said He's made Himself out to be God, which was true. He is God. You remember that Pontius Pilate wrote the inscription, King of Kings, and had that placed on the cross. And it infuriated the religious rulers because they went back and said to Him, He said He's the King of Kings. And He did say He's the King of Kings. He is the King of Kings. And by the way, that He said, what is written is written. He wasn't going to change it. And that inscription, King of Kings, is a picture of who Jesus Christ is. As He said, even beginning in Moses and going through the Word of God, He had spoken of Himself. It reminds me, we've been in a study on in the book of Hebrews on Wednesday evenings, and it one particular verse we covered in the last couple of evenings there together. Jesus had said in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 9, Lo, I come to do Thy will, O God, to take away the first and to establish the second, talking about the first covenant, and to establish the new covenant in His blood. But He said in verse number 7, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do Thy will. In the volume of the book, that means the completed Word of God. At that time, of course, it was the Old Testament. So what are we saying? How important is the Old Testament? Well, the Old Testament tells us how God created man, how God created everything, and then it talks about Jesus Christ. So thank the Lord for the New Testament, but the Old Testament, in the volume of the book, everything that we need to know about the Lord is there. We can see His birth in Isaiah. We can see His death in Isaiah. Isaiah 53 talks about Jesus Christ being despised. It talks about Him being rejected. It talks about the death of Christ. It talks about how that He would die, how that He would be as a lamb before the shearers is dumb, how that He would not open His mouth while they beat Him and spit upon Him. He held Himself, because He's God, in humility. He bowed to the will of the Father. And that's what He said. In the volume of the book, it is written, I come to do Thy will. He came to do the Father's will. We spoke of that in His behavior. Everything that He did was to the will of the Father. That one day He's going to be, of course, He's lifted up now, Luke tells us, in the ascension. And we see that. We see that how that Christ is now going back to be with the Father. And what has He done? He has blessed those that were there. And of course, this blessing continues to go forward in this world today. So when we see this, we think about the blessing of God. What does that mean? It's an action. It's an action. To say, God bless you, that's an action that we're asking God to do something for someone. Again, the Word of God is good, and His will is good, but Action is what's involved. See, God has given the word in the Old Testament, but he acted upon that by coming into this world. He actively humbled himself, Christ did. He became obedient to the will of the Father. He came into this world. He took upon himself the form of a man in humility. Man being made lower than the angels, the writer of Hebrews says. You've got God the Father who created the angels, then man being lower than the angels. And he did not come in the form of an angel. He did not come to represent God in an angelic body. And you and I who suffer and have problems with pain and sickness and disease and other things, where that we could say, but you don't understand. Well, what I'm saying is we have a God in the man Jesus Christ who understands how we feel today. Have you ever spoken with someone that seems they don't understand. You're not getting the picture. You're trying to discuss something with someone and they say, well, I know what you mean, yeah. And you're thinking, no, you don't. You really don't know how I feel. And folks, this is the sensitivity of the Spirit of God that indwells us. You and I, as a born-again believer, we should be sensitive to others. We should not elevate ourselves up to the place to where we think we're better than anyone else. Because if we're Christians and we see what Christ did for us and how he wants us to live our life, we're to be a humble people. So when we're talking with others, we our ears are bent and listening. So many times today, people are waiting just for take a breath. Can you stop just? And then they want to engage. Well, let me tell you how bad it's really been. You think you've got problems. No, we don't. We all have problems. And there's one problem solver, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we see what he did for us, and we see how he wants us to live for him, then our spirit becomes sensitive to the things of God, and then we're able to identify with others. Now, having said that, oftentimes we see people, and of course we're still human, and God forgive us, we see, oh, it's going to be a hard one. Here we go again. I've heard this before. I know what they're going to say. Folks, bear with them. Bear with them. Sometimes we have to earn the right to be heard, if you understand what I mean by that. We say, well, we have the good news of Jesus Christ. People just need to hear the word and get saved. That's just all they need. No, people are looking for someone who can identify with Christ. Christ didn't go out as he was showing his behavior, his ministry here on earth. He didn't go out and say, this is your problem. You're dying in sin. Straighten up, bud. No. They brought the lame. He healed them. He said, now go and sin no more. They brought the dumb. They brought the sick. And Jesus had a sense of love and care for all that met him. And what we find in being a Christian, which means little Christ, that's what the word means. They were called little Christs in Antioch. Why? Because they were acting like little Christs. And that's what the word Christian means. You and I are representatives of the Lord. Paul said we are ambassadors. That means, you think about an ambassador, what does an ambassador do? He represents the country from where he's sent. Folks, where's home? It's not here. Our home is up there. And as ambassadors with Christ, he has sent us into the world. And he didn't send us alone. He blessed us, and this is what we find. He blessed them, and he sent them. Luke says in this particular gospel, that's why I read today this rather than Acts. He didn't say that about the blessing, but here he did. He said in verse number 50 and following, how that Jesus blessed them. He led them out to Bethany, and he departed from there, of course. And he blessed them in his ascension. What did he say? He said something good. again, saying good, saying well to them. He charged them, by the way, if you would, with a commission to go. And by, this is not taking away, it's not adding to. But when you look at the gospel message to this group of men, he said, go and to tell. Go and to preach. Go and to teach. Go in the world and disciple. Make others become like Christ. How do you do that? Do you do that by saying, now this is the way we're going to do it? Are you listening? I want you to do this. I want you to do this. That's kind of sort of the way the Old Testament was. The law said, thou shalt and thou shalt not. And if you break the law, God's going to get you. Well, that's not the way it is. He came and fulfilled that law. And now in his life, in his behavior, we see a loving God. We see one that we can identify with. We see one who cares about how we feel. We see one who listens to what we have and what our problems are. And then we see one who's able to meet our problems. And once we become a Christian, we become like Christ. So he's working in and through us now. But it's the blessing of God. He has given us his word. He has shown his action. God has shown his action by coming into this world in the form of a man, coming in at the birth of Christ. And now we see the action of God again as he blesses them, as he is lifted up into heaven. You remember, he said, as the two angels standing there that day as they watched him, two men, they're there, and they said, this same Jesus, not another one, but this same Jesus that you have seen ascend into heaven, he's coming again in like manner. How's he coming? He was caught up in the clouds that day. He's coming back with the clouds. And he's going to bring back with him the blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to see this. He wants us to understand, and they did. In verse 50 again, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, if we could say, as he was blessing them, he was parted from them and carried into heaven. I love that, the way that Luke, the Lord is blessing them. Well, you know, it's a blessing to see the work of God. It blesses our heart in the action when you think about it. It blesses the heart of the believer to see how God works in other people's lives. There's nothing more blessed than to see someone pray and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone maybe that you've prayed about for a number of years. Maybe someone you've just met. However it is. But people, I want to say, just I understand what the Lord meant when the disciples returned that day in Samaria. They said, we went to get the bread and the goods, and here it is, Lord. He says, I've already eaten. They say, well, what did you have? Where did you get it? He said, I have meat that you know not of. What do you mean? He's opened the eyes of this blind woman. Not physically blind, but spiritually blind. Living in sin. He has opened her eyes, and that satisfied the demands. That met his need. And that's what I'm saying. Leading someone to the Lord. Having a part in that. People, it's not like, well, this guy won her to the Lord. Well, the preacher preached and they came. No, it's often the working of God that's been working in someone's life for years. Through the prayers of a saint, through the actions of a loved one. It's through the goodness of the Lord. And now, one may walk the aisle or one may pray and ask the Lord to save them. But it wasn't this person that saved them or that person. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the blessing of the Lord. And there's nothing like that. We ought to rejoice when we see people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a blessing. And now he's blessing them. Why? Because he has instructed them. Luke's not saying this, but he has already instructed them to go and to teach and make disciples. And he's going back to heaven. And they worship him in verse 52 and return to Jerusalem with great joy. They were in Jerusalem as he made himself known that evening after the resurrection. They go back to Jerusalem. They go out to watch him ascend. And now they go back to Jerusalem with great joy. And then verse 53, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Here the Jews, all these handful of Jews, we will say, a number of men, women, they've been blessed by the Lord. They've seen Him in a glorified, resurrected body. They have seen Him now ascend into heaven, and now they've been blessed, and they're on fire for the Lord. Well, they went home. I mean, it's been a long time now, 40 days. They're pretty tired. He's been with them 40 days, and they said, well, let's go home and get some rest. I'm sort of tired. No, they didn't. They got excited and encouraged, and you know where they went? They went to the temple. What do we know about the temple? I thought the temple was not good. I thought that's where the religious crowd was. I thought that's where all of these people were that Jesus drove out the money changers and thus and so. And it was. And that's where they went. They went right to the heart of false religion. They went right to the world of lost people. You remember the Apostle Paul called to be the apostle to the Gentiles because God used him to include you and me in His great plan. But every time Paul went somewhere, where did he go to begin with? He went to his own people. Why? Because his heart was broken. They went to the religious crowd. They went to the temple. I can only imagine. They've got the joy of the Lord, and they're going there to the temple. You remember later, Luke records how that Peter and John, they told Peter and John, said, don't you speak this name anymore. No, they couldn't be silent. They went back to the temple to try and to show these others. This one that you nailed to the cross, Peter said, the one that you crucified, the one that you did this to, he's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. You believe in him and you become saved. It's not the proud in the world that God uses. It's the humble. And folks, how do we humble ourselves? Well, when we see what Jesus did, we see the birth of Christ, we see the behavior of Christ, then we see the blessings of the Lord. How does He want us to live? He wants us to live as a humble people. As a humble people. And that's what Christmas is really about. Letting the love of the Lord and the light of the Lord flow through you and I, being reminded again of His goodness coming into this world to make Himself known to us. That's what Christmas is about. We don't know what day He was born. We know that December the 25th is when the Jews cleansed the temple after it had been desecrated, 165. They call it Hanukkah. They lift the temple back up. They cleansed the temple and got the lights burning again. God's not in a temple today. He's in the body of the believer. Your body and my body, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. People see the light and the love of the Lord in our life. And we need to be reminded of that. Aren't the trees pretty up here this morning? I couldn't hear the choir, but the trees are nice. You know, I've been around trees most of my life. Some of you have. I worked in the woods for years. Some of you have, others. Trees are a special thing. When you think about it, I'm going to give my little version of a story that I kind of concocted. One day years ago, there were three trees in the forest. You know, you read in the Old Testament, you hear about the trees of Lebanon. They must have been wonderful. I mean, those trees of Lebanon, that was the ideal wood. By the way, when Solomon built the temple, he got the best of the best. But these three trees were in the woods, and they're just small seedlings, and they're talking among themselves. I'm not big into stories, so stay with me today. They're talking among themselves, and one says, what are you going to be when you grow up? And this little small seedling said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to be when I grow up. He said, I'm going to have my lumber, when it's harvested, I'm going to have my lumber become a sailing vessel. Sailing vessel, said, yes, it will be a large ship. I'm going to take kings from point A to point B all over the wide open oceans. They said, well, that's good. And so they said, well, to the next one, said, well, what are you going to do when you grow up? He said, well, I'm going to have my lumber. it's going to be used by the king. I don't know whether it's going to be, I may make a dining room set, if there was such a thing as a dining room set. And he said, well, no, so the king can feast at my table. And then he got to think, he said, no, wait a minute. He said, I'm going to change that. He said, I'm going to be a bedroom set. So when the king goes to bed at night, he'll fall asleep and think about me, how wonderful I am. And then the next one says, well, they said, well, what are you going to do when you grow up? He's just a little seedling. He said, well, he said, I'm going to grow up tall, all the way to the sky. He said, so when men come by and look at me, when they start looking up, they can see God, think about God. So time would pass as it would have it. And this one little tree, he's going to be a ship. They took him down and carried him off and sawed him into lumber. And just about that time, they had a crunch in the economy. Things turned down. No shipbuilding. Nobody sailing. King staying home. So they took this lumber from this one tree, and they said, well, we'll build a boat. And they built a small fishing vessel. And they took the other one, they said, well, what it was said, he's going to make a dining room set, a bedroom set, and remember the economy is down, so nobody's buying dining room sets and bedroom sets. So they took the lumber from this one, and they made a little trough, feed the animals. He's not at the king's stable, but he's feeding the animals. And as the time would have it, one day the King of Kings came along. And he needed a place to be laid. And now that lumber that was going to be the king's bed in the palace has been put into a trough to feed the livestock. And now that little trough that was so proud of what he was going to do, what he should be, he's the trough where they laid the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the next tree over here, this tree that began, remember, he's going to be so great and so wonderful. He wasn't a trough, but he was a boat. Kind of like a bigger trough, if you would. He's out on the Sea of Galilee, and stinking fishermen are throwing fish inside of him. Some of them, have you ever been deep sea fishing? Sometimes before you get back to shore, they'll say, well, let's go ahead and clean the fish today. So when we get there, those guys on the boat, they're ready to get out and go home. Say, we'll just load up and go. So they're cutting the fish heads off, guts, stinking boat. But one day, this man of Galilee comes by, and he gets into that boat. Not the vessel of the king to travel the wide seas, but he's in this little fisherman's trough, if you would. And he says to the men, he said, let's push out just a little bit into the deep. And he stands in that little vessel, and he begins to preach to the people back on the shore. That's the King of Kings in that boat. Then the other tree, remember, he's going to grow so tall that people will look back and men will look up to the top, almost falling down, and say, there's God. Well, he didn't make it. Fire came through when he was young and did a lot of damage, like some been going in California. We were out there last year to see our daughter. We went to the redwoods, huge, massive trees. I mean, fire had gone through, and now just at the top, little sprigs of green beginning to come back from years ago. That's kind of the way this tree was, but he never got that big. He was just a little gnarled tree. So one day this guy that does woodwork, kind of like some of us like to do, he said, I'm going to take that tree home and make something out of it. So he whacked it down and carried it home, and he put it out back. He's going to get around to it. You know how those round to it are. One day he's going to get to it. And it never really became anything. And the sapwood, that'd be the bark and all, rotted off the tree. But the heart of the tree's still good. And it's all gnarled and just really of no value. But one day they had a special feast in Jerusalem. And it happened to be that year that this certain person was there that they hated. He'd been talking truth for three and a half years, and many people hated him because he rubbed them wrong. He told them who they were. And they said, I tell you what, let's do with this guy. He calls himself God, said, what we ought to do is we ought to crucify him. And they said, well, what are we going to put him on? Said, we've only got a couple of crosses. They said, hey, what'd you do with that tree you cut down? They said, well, it's over there behind the barn. And they said, well, go get it. And they brought it out and they made a cross. And that little tree that was going to cause people in his pride, like the others, to help the king sell, like the others in his pride, he's going to be at the master's table. This little tree in his pride, he's going to cause people to look up to God. And guess what he did? They put the Son of God on it. And they nailed him to that tree. Folks, you look at these manger scenes, that's one thing. We don't know how Jesus was born, but we know how he died. And when we look at a cross, it reminds us. Why? Because we look at the cross and we think about God. He's not on the cross, thank God. We just saw he ascended into heaven, didn't he? But he blessed them. And you and I are representations of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as that cross. That's why they want to take the crosses down in many places today. Why? Because it reminds man of who he is. And it reminds man of who God is. Folks, let's do our part. We've been blessed by God. Let's go out and be a blessing to others. Amen? Let's stand together today. So we give honor to the Lord. Fathers, I think about the life of each one of us, Lord. We're kind of like those trees. Sometimes we think about what we'd like to be and how we'd like to do it. But Lord, that may not be in your plan. You may have something different for us. And Lord, your plan always turns out right. It always turns out right. And Lord, we want to be a blessing to others. So Lord, we ask you to break our pride. Break who we are. Make yourself known in our lives. As we celebrate your birth, as we join with family and friends, help us to be a blessing to others, dear God. May it be a time that will make a difference in someone's life throughout all eternity. And Lord, we pray and ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.